hallelujah. You know, one of the things I love about that song is the enemy, our enemy, tries so hard to make his works and his actions seem so big and so great and so loud. But when we began to think about how great our God is,
amen,
and he's still God, amen, I don't care what the devil does, God made him, amen, and he can't do anything unless God allows it, amen, and he has his place, but he's going to his place, amen, and we're not going there. Amen. So he can yell and shout and he can make the, you know, the fiery trials, his fiery darts seem so loud at the time. But that's why I love that song. Begin to think about God is still on the throne.
Amen.
No matter what, amen. Amen. In the good times and the bad, he's still on the throne. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. Thank you. Musicians, God bless you. Amen. I still kind of get a little lump in my throat whenever I see, you know, Sister Emma, Brother Fernando sitting there playing with next to each other. Brother Jonathan up there playing. It's just it's an answer to prayer. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, we certainly want to pray for Brother Doug and Sister Jennifer, as was mentioned. Amen. And just he's working real hard to get this antelope. So may the Lord grant him the desire of his heart. Amen. Amen. I texted him before the service. I took a little picture of the wall in his office. I said, look, there's a perfect spot right here. Right here in the wall of your office. It's just waiting for us. Perfect. So we'll pray that, amen, that the Lord would give him what he's looking for. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we don't live for things like that, but it sure is nice, you know, the Lord will give us little things like that along the way. And, you know, just little blessings and, you know, a little time for him to get away and rejuvenate. And so we appreciate those things. Amen. And we just want to be praying for him. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, tonight, normally, you know, when we preach on a Sunday, it's Sunday morning, Sunday night sort of thing. But he's a tough act to follow, I'll tell you. You know, not sure how you preach after that. Amen. The sermon this morning. But maybe, you know, this morning, if we got our cups filled this morning, maybe tonight we just get them overflowing a little bit. Amen. Amen. You know, if your cup's full, that's good for you. But if it's overflowing, maybe there's a little something for somebody else that you can help somebody else along the way. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, now that I let you sit, let's stand for the reading of the word tonight. Heard Mike there in the back. Sit, stand, sit, stand. Everybody awake tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know, when the song leader starts to work, it's like, oh boy, Lord help us. Amen.
Right.
But you can do your part tonight. Amen.
Yeah.
You can.
Amen.
We can cut through that. We were made to do that.
Right.
Amen. That we were made to worship God, and
sure.
we were made to live out His word. So let's do tonight what we're called to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3. I thought, you know, Brother Doug was getting dangerously close to my notes this morning. I mean, he was tiptoeing around it a little bit. So that's all right, though. Amen. It's, we know that's just the leading of the Spirit. So we appreciate that. But we're going to continue to the next part of this thought tonight. And I want to title the message tonight, That Great Rest. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Oh, precious Father, how we love you, Lord. How we thank you, Lord. Lord, we just can look back, Lord, and we can see prayer after prayer after prayer answered, Lord, in our lives. And Lord, we can see you moving and directing our footsteps. Lord, and tonight, Lord, you've directed our footsteps here, Lord. And so, Lord, we're trusting, Lord, that tonight we're just walking right in your will, Lord. We're right where we're supposed to be, Lord. And that we're here not in vain, Lord, but we're here for a purpose. Yes. And so tonight I just pray that your word, Lord, would find its bedding ground in our hearts, Lord, and that it would change us from the inside out, Lord. Yes. That it would just move and be living, and Lord, like a sharp sword would cut away, Lord, unbelief and carnality out of our lives, Lord, that it would strengthen us, Lord, and just lift us up tonight. Lord, if there are any tonight that have come that are weary and, Lord, that are burdened down, Father, I pray that you just lift them up tonight, Lord, that you would just give them a special blessing, Father. Lord, take control tonight. Lord, I give you my lips. Lord, I give you my hands, my entire life, Lord. Use, Lord, me. Use your people, Lord, here tonight. Take complete control of this service, Lord. And may you be glorified and honored in all that's said and done. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated tonight. So, of course, last Sunday we were speaking about that showdown at Kadesh Barnea and how the tribe of Israel failed to go into that promised land. And we kind of began to touch a little bit on the things of what the promised land was. But that's what we really want to kind of dig into tonight. And the Bible calls it that his great rest. Amen. He said that they should not enter into his rest. It was his rest. Amen. And we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We know, we saw last week how it was their sin. They didn't judge God faithful. Amen. They didn't think he was faithful to his promise. They didn't think that they were able through him to obtain the promise that he had made for that to them. Amen. And we saw the end result, which was death, and not just natural death, but spiritual death. Everyone perished in the wilderness. Is that right? He said that they should not enter into his rest. Amen. So we want to look tonight at what is this rest? What does that mean, his rest? And we know that he is speaking of that land. Amen. He is speaking of the promised land to Israel. We know that land types the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit for us is our rest. Amen. But we also know that it types the millennium and that the church through six ages labors and then enters into the seventh day, which is the day of rest for the church corporately. Amen. So, but of course, tonight we're going to speak more directly, more pointedly about the type of the Holy Spirit being our rest. So God first introduced this idea of a rest right from the foundation. Amen. Right from the foundation of the world. The Bible says that he created everything, 6 days of creation. And then on the seventh day, he took a rest. He took a break. Amen. He left off from his works of creating all that there was, and he rested on the seventh day. So that rest, it means freedom from work. Amen. Or freedom from works, or freedom from a certain activity, right? So God freed himself from the work of physical creation, and he said it is good. Amen. Right? And that was his time of rest. He freed himself from it. Now, that doesn't mean that God went to sleep. It doesn't mean that he stopped working altogether. It doesn't mean that he stopped doing things. He didn't stop moving through his creation. Quite the contrary. But what it means is that work was finished. Amen. The number seven then begin from that represents to us completion or a finished work.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Not a work that is still in progress, but a finished work. And that's when the rest comes in, when the work is finished. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. So once the job was done, then he rested. So that set a standard. Amen. And that was a type that has been carried through the scriptures. As I mentioned, rest does not equal sleep. Amen. When you come into the land, when they came into the land of rest, the land of the promise, they had a fight on their hands. Right? They didn't just come in and lay down and go to sleep and that's it. Right? But their wandering ceased. They came to rest in their position. Amen. They weren't moving about anymore. They came, they solidly, they stopped. And if a moving object, they say a moving object comes to rest. Right? It's not moving about anymore. They're not going in circles in the wilderness anymore. Now they have come to rest where they belong.
Amen.
Exodus 20 verse 8 says, "Remember that Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Amen. We know that was given to Israel, right, as part of the law that they would keep the seventh day. He said to keep that day holy and rest in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Let us therefore fear." Now that doesn't sound like a state of rest, right? "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," speaking of Israel, "but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Oh my. So you see, he says, let us fear. If you haven't entered into that rest, you have cause to fear. Amen. You have cause to be wondering, to be unsettled. Amen. The promise, lest the promise being left, something left on the table, coming short of what God has for us. Amen. That promise still stands today. And it's still there. The offer is still open. And he's saying, we don't want anybody to miss out on that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
"For unto us was the gospel preached," the gospel being the good news of this Holy Ghost experience, "has been preached to us."
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. "But it must be mixed with faith."
Amen.
The word alone preached doesn't do you any good unless you mix it with faith. Oh, amen. Amen. The word can be proclaimed to you every moment of every day. You can listen to a tape every waking minute of your day. But if you don't mix that word with faith, it can't take effect. Is that right? We could have the best preacher in the world for a pastor, and we're pretty close to it. Amen. But we've got to mix that word with faith. Amen. Even Jesus had a Judas who didn't mix the word with faith. Is that right? He had many fall away. He was God in flesh preaching the word. Amen. They had the prophet Moses. They had the pillar of fire. Amen. But they didn't walk in what was preached to them. We have to walk in what the prophet has preached to us.
Amen.
Not just talk about it, not just look at doctrines and say, I believe the doctrine. You've got to walk with it. Every time you come into church. Amen? What's coming forth has got to be mixed with faith. Brother Branham said that they saw the pillar of fire. He said, but it wasn't mixed with, and he put it this way, personal faith.
Amen.
Amen. Personal faith. Let's go on in Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read through a good portion of this chapter. It says in verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, this the way the English is written here can be really confusing. So let's continue and then we'll kind of break this down. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So he's actually quoting Old Testament, okay? They don't have little quotations in there, so it can be a little confusing. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So let's break these down just a little bit, because as I mentioned, the English, he says things in different order, and it can be confusing. But he's basically saying, we which believe, now I like to just stop right there, right? We're in good company tonight. Amen. With Brother Paul. Amen. We which have believed do enter into rest. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be part of that number. Amen. As the song says, I'm one of them. Amen. And then, so he's quoting, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. And so he's saying that God told them, or God said and spoke about, look, I swore that though I spoke about this from the foundation of the world, I talked about rest from the very beginning of creation. I set up the type for them. I set up the Sabbath for them. It was all lined up for Israel to go in.
Amen.
And they rejected, and he says, as I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter in. He says, although they were finished from the foundation of the world. And then he quotes the other scriptures, and God did rest on the seventh day from his works, and quote again, if they shall enter into my rest. So he's just saying that, look, it was there available to them. It was typed out for them, and they didn't go in.
Right.
And that happens today.
Yeah.
Amen. We've had so much preaching. We've had so much types and shadows and doctrines and so many things revealed to us. So many mysteries returned and loose ends tied up and vindicated and over-vindicated. And yet there are some that don't go in. Amen. It's unbelief that still keeps people from entering into his rest. Amen? Amen. Unbelief. What kind of unbelief? Well, unbelief that some people say, well, the Holy Ghost comes a different way. Well, you're not going to go in if you say it's different. Amen? Or those that are following a church, or following a man, or following a doctrine. There are men on the scene today that say that they are the ones that give the Holy Ghost. Right? And people follow that. There are those that follow in more subtly. They look to their church. They look to their pastor. Say, well, we are in the in group. Amen? And I know that we're going because we've got this and we've got that. And it's we, part of us. Amen? It's not like a little pig, right? We, all the way home. Whoever laughed over there, it's your fault. But you see, before it can be we who have entered in, It has to be you and God. It has to be one individual surrendering. This, though this is a corporate body, and it is a body work, it's made of individuals. And each individual has their own relationship with Him. And each individual hears His voice specifically and individually, and each individual is led by Him.
Yes,
amen. And so what happens is, part of the unbelief is a group movement. That's what we saw at Kadesh, right? Where it was a group movement. The group think began to take over, right? And they began to all, you know, talk the same language, and they were, well, you know, they're surely, you know, we're Israel, and the 10 spies were the majority, right? And so you begin to rely on, we would call it, strength in numbers, right? Or all 10,000, or what is it, 10 million people can't be wrong, right? Well, I'm here to tell you they can. Amen. And so there's the reproach of fanaticism. There's the reproach of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has a bad name today. People don't want to surrender. People don't want to give in to what the Holy Ghost's leadership means. Amen? They want to maintain control. They don't want to die out. They don't want to give up. They don't want to give in. They don't want to let go. They're afraid. They're distrustful of God. Yeah. You have to trust God. You have to trust Him completely in every fiber of your being to surrender completely to Him. You have to trust Him so much that that scripture that of Job, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. Amen. No matter what happens, I trust Him. Amen. Then you're getting somewhere. Then you can cross over Jordan. Then you can die to self. Amen. Amen. So in verse 7, He says, He limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Now, this is found in Psalm 95. We're not going to read it, but He's quoting David. He's quoting a psalm. Today is the day when you hear His voice. When He calls, that's the time to move.
Amen.
Amen? When He's calling you, if you hear His voice, He says, harden not your heart. That's the time. That's the moment. Your visitation is at hand. Don't turn it away because you might not get another chance. When they would sit around the pool of Bethesda, right, and the angel would come and stir the waters, that was their opportunity. They had to get in because they didn't know how long it would be or even if it would ever happen again. Today, if you will hear His voice calling, that's the time. He says, harden not your hearts. When God speaks and calls your name, you better answer. And your answer better be, here am I, Lord.
Amen.
Here am I, Lord. Send me. Do whatever you want. Amen. You say, well, how do I know He's calling? If there's a pull. Amen. If there's something in you that's pulling, that wants God. Amen. There's a desire in your heart. You can't have that unless He's calling. You're being drawn to Him because He's drawing you. Amen. Brother, sister, this is still the time of grace. This is still the time when God is calling and dealing with the hearts of men and women. Amen. This is still the time when there's still an opportunity now. We don't know how long it will be, but there is an opportunity to come into His rest. He's still calling. And He's saying, if you hear My voice, if you hear that call, don't harden your heart. Amen. Don't push Him away. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2, verse 23, it says, it came to pass that as He went through the cornfields, this is speaking of Jesus, on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Now there was nothing wrong with eating corn on the Sabbath day, but they were doing work by harvesting it. And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat a showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Amen. Now, as I mentioned, this Sabbath day was given as a type of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so we're gonna draw that out here in a little bit. Let me read this statement before we do that. Results of decision. He says, Some man wrote me a letter. I got it today. He said, Brother Branham, do you even keep the Sabbath day? Sabbath? I heard you say this morning in that breakfast that you eat sausage and eggs. Said, a holy man like you eat sausage? And he admits he's a holy man, right? He couldn't deny that God was working in his life. Sausage. Man, I'd be in trouble. I love sausage, right? Well, brother, I love you with all my heart, but if I never do more than eat sausage, it'll never keep me out of heaven. Notice, brother, keeping Sabbath day, it's all right if you want. Notice he says, it's all right if you want to do it. Right? He says, I make a principle in the pulpit to talk about nobody's religion. That's right. But for the sake of it, now I say this, that the Sabbath day keeping was only a shadow of the real Sabbath. God would have kept, would have given them Sabbath right there when they crossed the Jordan. Jordan represents death. And when you're ready to die out to yourself, God will give you Sabbath or rest. Amen? I said, the Sabbath is the Holy Ghost. Said, nonsense. The Sabbath is a day. I said it was at one time limited to a certain people, but today the Sabbath is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. He said, oh, it can't be. Why? He said, God gave the day and sealed it with a memorial that it was a day keeping. I said, for a people. But today, Ephesians 4:30 said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed till the day of your redemption. The Holy Ghost is a seal of God that'll be upon the forehead or the knowledge in the hand. The works of every person that's took into the kingdom of God will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The seal of God in this last days is a distinction, a mark that'll be put on the people. Wish we had about a week's revival on that. Amen. And if you don't get that, you have the mark of the beast, right? Not a vaccine. Amen. So, in Jesus, in Brother Branham's day, it was an Adventist. I assume this was a Seventh-day Adventist, right? Probably interested in keeping the Saturday or the Sabbath day holy. And in Jesus' day, it was the Pharisees, right? And Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, look, the Sabbath or the rest was made for man. Amen. Not the other way around. And we're going to use this because this principle applies to many things in our Christian walk. Amen. Amen? It wasn't supposed to be a hardship. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Right? It's a day of rest for them. It wasn't supposed to be a duty that bound them up. Or something hard that was for them to do, or something that, that could be used for God to punish them. It was supposed to be a time of rejuvenation for them. It was a day for them to recharge. When God rested, he enjoyed it. Right? He set back to enjoy the fruits of his labor. It was a time for him to refresh himself, to take a step back and to look at what he had done. Amen? And that's our type. The Sabbath day given to Israel was for their benefit. It was given to them for the sake of their bodies, so that they wouldn't work themselves to death. Amen? It was a time to be set aside so that they could have communion with the Father. A time of refreshing from God. Amen? But the Pharisees had made it into a stick to beat the people with. And themselves, frankly. Sunday is the same for us, right? We don't celebrate, or we're not Sabbatarians. We don't honor the Sabbath on a Saturday, but we do honor the resurrection of Christ on Sunday. Amen. And we have that time set aside for our refreshing, for our benefit. Amen. It's the first day of the week. It's a 1 in 7 where we can come and we can fellowship with God. We can fellowship with each other. We can step back and get perspective on our week's labor. Amen. We can have rest from our labors. Amen. But people tie that to their spirituality. Now, I'm not, please don't misunderstand me. In no way am I suggesting that you shouldn't go to church on Sunday. But you also shouldn't measure your closeness or your spirituality with God on how closely you obey these things or follow these things. That's what Pharisees did, right? So in the message sets out certain standards of holiness. And certain standards of how we should live our lives and things that we should be obedient to. And we should be obedient to those things. Amen? But those things and our obedience to those things, say something great big here, amen? Our obedience to do those things or not do those things, to adhere to those standards of holiness or whatever, that is not the basis of our eternal security. That is not the basis of our salvation. Everybody okay tonight? I'm eternally secure because I've been born again. Because I've been born again by the Holy Ghost and I've entered into His rest. Amen. I'm going to say something great big. Regardless if I ever go to church again. Amen. It isn't predicated on anything that I do. I surrendered. I died out. And He came in. That's a finished work. Now, because I'm born again, I want to be at my post of duty every time the church doors open. But we get it turned around. We get things backwards. Amen. And what do we get? We get message Pharisees. Oh, yes, sir. Not all the Pharisees were bad. Oh, that's amen. Some of them were sincere. Some of you tonight, your relationship with God goes up and down. And up and down. And it's based on how good you think you did this week. I did good this week. I'm up and I'm down. And up and down. Amen. You've been caught in the same situation that the Pharisees were in. Sincere Pharisees in the Bible. Oh, brother, name one. Nicodemus? Gamaliel? How about Saul? Guy named Saul. He was sincere. He was sincerely wrong. Right? But he wasn't. He was trying to serve God. Living by the law and measuring his spirituality, his relationship with God, on how closely they adhered to the law. Amen. And we have people in this message that measure their spirituality based on how well they adhere to the things that Brother Branham said about this or that or whatever it is. Things that are in the scripture even, right? Things that are true, scriptural, absolutely, that we should do. But we don't measure our spirituality by how good we are at it. They are not born of the Spirit, and so they are in the wilderness. They're going in circles. Sincere message Pharisees. Amen. Sanctified by their works, they're applying the blood, they're believing, they're doing everything within their power to obey what God has said, and that's good and sincere. Amen? But they haven't crossed over. They're not resting.
Amen.
They're striving, they're pushing, they're up and down, and they're working out their salvation. Amen? But they haven't crossed over.
Amen.
Now that is a process that every believer has to go through.
Amen.
But the problem is when you stay there and go in circles for 40 years.
Amen.
It's an unsettled place. It's a place of uncertainty. You're not sure whether you're sealed or not. You feel like you could mess up at any time and be lost. Amen? You feel like God is just waiting for you to mess up so he can kick you out. Amen. In that situation, you haven't been sealed. You're saved as long as you believe that you're saved. But you haven't been sealed. Amen? Striving for your salvation, but it isn't worked out yet. You're still in a gray area. So many people fall away from this move because they were in that place and they thought they had it. They thought they had crossed over. They thought they had something that they didn't, but really they were still in that gray area. Amen? And so they fall away and people are shaken. Amen. Now, of course, once you enter into the rest, you're still going to make mistakes. We know that, right? You still are in flesh. We're not talking about the flesh, though, tonight. We're talking about the soul. Amen? All right, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, so this Jesus that he's speaking of, this is Joshua, right? This is not Jesus Christ. This is Joshua, because it's the same word in the Greek. For if Jesus had given them rest, in other words, so if they had entered in to the rest that he was speaking of, the ultimate rest, right? He says, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. Hallelujah. As God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Right? God labored and then he rested. In the wilderness, in sanctification, you've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. You're laboring. But once you enter that Holy Ghost land, you cease from your own works. So he says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Lest any man fall like Israel did in the wilderness. Amen?
Amen?
So Paul is telling us how the physical rest that Joshua gave to Israel types the rest that is available to us.
Amen.
Amen. The people of God. And here is the key. In the wilderness of sanctification, you only have your works. You're relying on your works. Amen? You're pleading the blood and believing unto But you're really relying on your own labors, right? It's a labor to enter. It's a time of cutting off fleshly things. It's a time where God begins to show you through His Word, look, this is not pleasing. You need to get rid of this. Get this out of your life. Amen. This, you get this out of your home. Bring this in instead. Stop doing this. Start doing that. Amen. It's a time of sanctification. It's a time of a cleansing. It's a time when God's Word is cutting things, preparing you to cross over. Amen. Cutting off the old things that are holding you back. But it's not a rebirth. It's a cleaning up time. Amen? Amen. Removing hindrances. You have to get rid of, as I said last time, that slave mentality of Egypt. They have to leave behind the things of the world. You have to cut off the old friendships, the old associations. You have to get rid of things that would hold you back from going on with God. Amen. Things that have to be burnt out in the desert. Things that have to be purged. Right. Now look, we're still purged from unbelief continually. Right? But this is a preparation for you to cross over. Right. As I said, rest is freedom from work. Right. The key there is you're free. Right. Amen. In other words, your works are not required anymore. Now you still have works. We hope, right? Your faith will produce works. But you're free from the requirement of it. Hallelujah. You're not justified by your works. Amen. You've ceased from your own works, and now Christ is working through you. Now, you know, many in many different churches, they teach a perversion of this, and we call it, you know, turning grace to a disgrace. Maybe you've heard the term. I don't particularly like the term, but it's sloppy agape, right? You've heard that maybe? Where people, it's so much about love and grace that they have no standards. Right? There's no holiness. They've gone so far onto the other side that there's absolutely no foundation. Right? So people take these scriptures and apply them to people that are not born again, and that's what you get. So when we, and then they use that as an excuse to live worldly. Right, to allow worldly things into their churches, to allow worldly things into their lives. That's not what we're talking about. Amen. We believe in the biblical Bible standards. We believe in a cleaned up Bible holy life. Amen. Amen. But you see that we've ceased from our works.
Right. Amen.
Amen. If there's any holiness in my life, it's not from me. It's from Him.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Message, question, and answers on Genesis. He says, now, if you want to know, how many would like to know what Christian rest is, say amen.
Amen.
Congregation says amen. Now you can mark it if you want to, Isaiah 28. He said, precept must be upon precept. Speaking precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, hold fast to that which is good. The prophet speaking of the time coming about rest, Sabbath. Read the whole chapter, you see, he's saying. Times when there is a Sabbath day will be done away with, and they'll sell shoes on Saturday the same as they did it on Monday, or whatever more, you see. Said, when will this sign be? Said, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, hold fast to what's good. For with stammering lips and with other tongues I will speak to this people, and this is the Sabbath, the rest that I said they should enter into. For all of this they hardened their hearts and wagged their heads and rejected it. Just the same thing they did on Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell upon the people. And the Holy Ghost was first given to the people back there on the day of Pentecost. That is the rest the Sabbath to the people of God. And this is the scripture he was referring to, Isaiah 28:8, "For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean." My. You know, this is speaking of Israel, but it sure applies to us. We are in a similar situation today, amen, where God had dealt so wondrously with Israel and blessed them so much. They were a nation favored of God. And our nation is the same way. Look at how our nation has been favored of God. A godly nation. Amen. Revival after revival. So many things that were done here. Amen. And so many blessings that God bestowed on this nation. And now the tables are full of vomit and filth. Amen. He says, "So that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and draw from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest.'" Amen. "Wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." You see, this is the refreshing, not a burden. It's a new life bubbling up. Amen. It's a fountain. It's a wellspring of water. Amen. It's something within that is just moving and it's living. Amen. And it's fresh. When we grow so weary from our own trying, amen, and striving and wanting it, amen, and then he comes,
amen,
and we surrender to him, then it's a refreshing.
Amen.
Amen. Unfailing realities of God, he says, the Bible said, "With stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the rest of the soul." As I mentioned before, we're not speaking about physical. Right? We're speaking about our soul. Our physical bodies will be changed and have their rapture and their adoption, and they'll have their rest later. But right now, there is rest for my soul. He says, "This is the thing that will come," Isaiah 28:18. "Read it, with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. This is the rest." He said, not Sunday, ain't the rest day. The Holy Spirit is the rest day. You Advent brethren, not the seventh day Sabbath is the rest. The Holy Spirit is the rest. "With stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the Sabbath." And Sabbath means rest. This is the rest to the soul. You have eternal rest. Hallelujah. Like God, when he made the world the seventh day, he rested after that. He rested and went on resting. When we enter into God, we rest all the time. Not from one Sunday to another. Not from one revival, one camp meeting to another. No one special meeting. Amen. As I said before, if you're up and down with that, that's the... Now, of course, I don't want to minimize the fact that we can go to meetings and we can get... rejuvenated, right? And that's why we come to church on Sunday, is to get refreshed and rejuvenated. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about your soul being unsure. He says, we rest eternal. We got eternal life. The Holy Spirit gives you rest. He says, we rest all the time. Amen? Brother, sister, we're completely safe.
Amen.
Amen. As we heard this morning, who can separate us?
Amen.
What can come against us?
Amen.
Who can get to you? Who can harm you? Again, I'm not talking about your flesh. I'm talking about your soul.
Amen.
It's locked up. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
It's locked up in God's safe.
Amen.
The devil can't get to it. Amen. Brother Branham said to get in there, he'd have to be born again, and then he'd be your brother. Your eyes are no longer on yourself or other people. Amen. You're not striving anymore. with God or yourself, you surrendered. You're not looking to other people. You're not looking at people that have confessed to be Christians and Christian leaders and pastors and, you know, people that profess to be prophets or whatever that have fallen, because they're all over the place. There's example after example. People here that fall away, that leave church, quit on God.
Right.
But you're not looking at that.
Right.
I don't care. I mean, I care, but it doesn't affect my eternal destination, who falls and who doesn't. Amen? Why? Because my eyes aren't on them. Amen. Brother Branham gave us an example one time of some children that were riding a bicycle, right? And they had a little contest, and they had to like ride across a real narrow plank. You remember that? And some of them tried it, and they tried and they struggled so hard, and they concentrated on trying to get their bike across that. I imagine it was just a little. I have to go reread it. I haven't read it in a while, but just a narrow little plank where they just the wheel, you know, just one little mess up of the wheel, and they would fall, riding across this little beam. And they tried one right after another, and in their own strength, right? They tried and they failed and tried and failed. And then finally one boy just jumped up and just ran right across it. And they said, "What was your secret?" And he said, "Well, I just looked off at the goal. I looked off where I was going. I didn't look down, amen, at every little wobble and twist and turn of the wheel. But I was looking out there." Amen. Don't get your eyes on men. Don't get your eyes on churches. Don't get your eyes on movements. You look at Christ. Amen. We only look to Him. Amen. And He never moves. He never changes. So we keep our eyes fixed on Him. Brothers and sisters, there's going to be wobbles. Amen. There's going to be little turns, and it looks like you're headed for the edge. But if you keep your eyes on Him, amen, He's the one that will pull us through. My eyes are on my sacrifice. I don't look at my works any longer, amen, to justify myself, to measure my spirituality, to measure my relationship with God, because I look at my Lamb. I look at my sacrifice. Was He judged worthy? Was He judged innocent? Was He judged perfect? Was He judged without sin? Was He judged righteous? Completely, utterly innocent and righteous and holy. And if He was judged that way, that's how God sees me. Hallelujah. And I look at that. Why? Because that's my rest. That's where I dwell, in that land of rest. Because He came back and He told me, "You're my son."
Amen.
And He told you, amen, "You're my child." Amen. "You have my righteousness." Hallelujah. It's no mystery that those that have not crossed over would fall away. Where's the mystery in that? They're just identifying themselves. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, he says, when Ruth was resting, it was a type of the church resting in the promises of God. Now, if we just remember back to the story of Ruth just a little bit, remember there were all these different phases of her life, right? She's out there gleaning in the fields, and she's working, she's trying to survive, right? And she meets Boaz, and what does he tell her? He says, "Don't worry, I'm going to redeem you." Amen. She met him personally. She heard his voice speak to her directly. Naomi wasn't there. It wasn't to anyone else. It was her Redeemer, Boaz, speaking directly to her, telling her that he was going to redeem her. And then at that point, she rested. There was nothing for her to do. There was nothing she could do. She relied completely and totally on Him. She rests from her labors. He says when Ruth was resting, it was a type of the church resting in the promises of God. We have the earnest now of our salvation. We're not worried whether we're going over there or not. We're going. Amen. That's right. Amen. God said so. God promised it. And we got the earnest. Now, when he's talking about the earnest, he's talking about the Holy Ghost, right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost comes to prove to you that you've got eternal life. And it's your token. Amen. The earnest means it's the down payment, right? It's the proof that God gives to you to show you, yes, you have crossed over. Amen. You are eternally secure. We got the earnest. Amen. Done, been received. Christ has accepted us. Amen. Paul said we have been accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. No way to get away from it now. We're there. Amen. All you have to do is just wait. And he's down doing the kinsman redeemership. And we have the earnest of it right now, waiting for the time that when he comes back. And then what was the next thing Ruth was? Ruth was rewarded. That's what the church did. It entered into justification under Luther, went into sanctification under Wesley, went into the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this last days, and now resting with the earnest of our inheritance that we know that something happened in us. Amen. Hallelujah. We know something happened in us. We passed from death unto life. We're waiting and groaning with nature for that time when we'll receive the immortal life and immortal fullness. Our bodies will be redeemed and everything will be redeemed. And we're just waiting from Him to return back from the gate. But you see, during that time of waiting, Ruth was in her rest. Amen? It was a time of rest for her. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's read this next one here. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I didn't write this one. I'm looking at it going, why? I didn't have this one. All right, manifested sons of God. He says, look over in Hebrews 4. Didn't he say another rest? God created the seventh day and gave them rest on the seventh day. Another place he spoke of the rest, saying, today in David, we read that in Hebrews 4, right? Then he give them another rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. He said, enter into this rest. For we which have entered into this rest have ceased from our works as God did on his Sabbath. Certainly, there's your Sabbath rest. There's your real rest in this promised land. The Holy Ghost is a promise of the people. And why will they want educated, scholarly preachers who let them wear shorts and cut their hair and wear lipstick and men to gamble and drink beer and tell jokes and go on and carry on like that and call themselves members of the church? Why they will take something like that and refuse the leadership of the Holy Ghost? Why? The Bible said that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts you asunder to the bone, even the discerner and the thoughts of the heart. Even of the thoughts of the mind. And if we love the things of the world or the things that love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in us. So he's speaking about the things of holiness. He said they're claiming to be in the land of the Holy Ghost and they can't even get holiness right. They're not even living according to the word. They're not even living like a Christian. At least those that are sanctified that don't even have the Holy Ghost, at least they're sanctified. Amen. Amen? But he said, look, many are called, few are chosen, for straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. But few there be that'll find it. Many will come to me in that day. Set down in the kingdom, said Jesus, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the children of the kingdoms will be cast out, saying, Lord, have not we did this in your name? Have we not preached? Have we not been Dr. So-and-so and Reverend So-and-so? I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. Not all that said, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but the ones that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, that's the one that goes in. Amen. And there's many, many in the land today, I believe, that are fulfilling that. Amen. They claim to be Dr. So-and-so and Reverend So-and-so, and they're not who they don't represent Christ. Amen. They're representing themselves. They're in it for themselves. Amen. Okay, quickly here. Church dedication, he says, on that perfect rest to come from the congregation to the altar, from the altar to the bosom of Christ, the bed, the night, the secret place, the resting place. He's speaking about how you would come from the altar where you're dying out and crying out, and it's a strain and a stress, to peace, to rest. Justification, Martin Luther taught it. Sanctification, John Wesley taught it. Now the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Pentecost taught it. By the Holy Spirit entering into an everlasting, eternal rest. As long as you are in that room, you are hid away in the holiest of holies with God. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, this is a gospel of peace. Amen. Amen. This is a gospel of, this is good news. Amen. Where we can be at peace with God and hid away with Him. Amen. He says, you are in the church of the firstborn. You are baptized in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are free from judgment, for you have passed through the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Christ took your judgment, and you'll never have to go through the judgment, but you've passed from death unto life. So to enter into the true abiding place of God is by spiritual baptism. Amen. Amen. So you say, well, you know, you're talking about all this rest and peace and all these things, but I don't feel like that. I feel like I'm in a battle, right? And we heard this morning how we are in a battle. Amen. We are in a place where we are claiming the rights given to us. Amen. Amen. That was the message this morning, that God has made claims in His book. He's made promises. He's spoken things about you and I. And it's a battle for us to go forward and possess it. Amen. As part of the promised land, there were giants there that we've spoken about. Amen. There was a battle for them to fight in that land. So you might be hearing all this, you know, this tonight we're talking about peace and rest and all these things. And you say, man, I don't feel that way. I feel like Satan's on my track and I've been in a battle. Amen. Well, yeah. Amen. I believe that's all of our testimony tonight. Amen. Either he's on your track or he's sure to be on your track soon. Amen. You're either in the midst of a trial or you're coming up to the next one. Amen. Because we will be in a battle and we will be in tests and trials until we get out of here. Amen. So, but while we're in that battle and we are fighting, it's settled.
Amen.
Amen. We are, Jesus was battling with Satan. Amen. He was in a fight when he was here on earth. Satan took him up and tempted him. And he was in a battle with the enemy. But it was settled. Amen. He was fighting the battle from a position where he knew who he was, what he was doing, who the enemy was, what he was doing, and where he stood.
Amen.
Amen. You see, brother, sister, you're no longer on trial. Amen. Oh yeah, Satan can scream and he's perfecting patience in you, right? And he's perfecting these different attributes in you. Amen. And he can come and attack your body and you've got to fight him. But your soul is not on trial anymore. The accuser of the brethren has nothing to accuse you of. Because once you've crossed over, your sin has already been judged. Amen. You've already, the verdict's already in. Amen. It's already been published. The verdict is in. Not guilty. And he can appeal and appeal and appeal and appeal all he wants. But there are no more appeals. Not guilty. That's the place of rest. Hallelujah. He can attack you all he wants. And he will. Amen. But he can't do anything about not guilty. He's lost. Hallelujah. You've been sealed. Bound for glory. Oh, hallelujah. You've already passed from death unto life. Oh, glory to God. Amen. You're already back home with the Father where you belong.
Amen.
Brother, sister, that's the anchor. That's the anchor that holds. No matter how bad the storm is blowing, now you've got an anchor. Before you were being blown around this way and the wind would blow that way and so you'd go that way. But now you got an anchor. And that anchor holds. That anchor's been proven. It's been tested. Amen. There's nothing that can come against you. Amen. Nothing that can separate you. Who can condemn? Jesus said these words, right? Who can convince me? Who can condemn me of sin? Who can accuse me of sin? Well, that's you tonight if you've been born again. Amen. When you've crossed into that land of rest, that's your rest. Who can convince me? Who can apply sin to me? It's God that justifies. Oh, glory to God. Brother, sister, let that revelation break on you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read this message, last statement here. This message is, why are people so tossed about? This is one of my favorite messages. I was saying somewhere maybe a few nights ago, I wanted to preach so bad. I preached to my wife in bed till 12 o'clock, just telling her how glorious Jesus was. A text come in my heart. It kept burning me so great till I just couldn't rest with it. I said, honey, I want to preach to you a little while. And she roused up by grace. She listened. I said, the Christian faith is based solidly on rest. Wait a minute. I thought it was based on works. Nope. I thought it was based on how good I... Nope. I thought it was based on me... Nope. It's on rest. That's right. A Christian is not tossed about. A Christian doesn't run from place to place. A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. You say, well, I was worried this week about something. Does that mean I'm not a Christian? No. That just means that you are anointed with worry. Amen? But that means that you've got something in you to overcome that worry. Fuss, fume, worry about things. A Christian rests. It's all over. It's all finished for the believer at Calvary. That's right. Oh, sickness may come and disappointments. But the Christian's at rest, knowing this, that God's able to keep that which he performed. Knowing that no matter what the thing is or how it looks, there's neither sickness, sorrow, death, there's neither starvation or anything that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ, Jesus Christ. We're at rest. Just let the old ship toss any way she wants to. The anchor holds. Hallelujah. He said, I come to a harbor one time and I seen that. We was flying in a plane and coming down low, and there was a big old ship there, and the sails had been let down, you know, and oh, what a storm on the sea, and my, she was tossing, and I seen that old ship there rocking back and forth, and some waves would go in and some waves would go under and everything, and I said, wonder why that is. And a fellow sitting there said, it's got a sea anchor on it. He said, therefore, he said, that ship can't sink. He said, it can go through the waves, but it can't sink because it's anchored. I said, oh, praise be to God. We got an anchor. Some waves we can go over and some we can go under, but regardless, the anchor holds. It isn't the ship doing the holding. It's the anchor doing the holding. It isn't what I am or what I will be or what I was. It's what He is now. And what He did for me and you. It ain't what I can do. It's what He has done. Say that tonight. It's not what I can do. It's what He has done. It's not what I can do. It's what He has done. My faith doesn't anchor in what the coming meetings will be. My faith doesn't rest only in any ability I would have or on what church I would join or what people I associate with. My faith anchors and rests entirely upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that's already been received. Hallelujah. But you got to receive it. You got to enter in. Amen. You've got to accept it. You got to die out to your old works to enter into that rest. Hallelujah. And then let's stand tonight. Matthew 11:28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you are tossed about, if you are going around in the wilderness, Jesus is calling tonight. And He's saying, look, you're working. It's a heavy burden, right? You're trying to be right. You're trying with everything that you've got to live this Christian life, to live for God. You're laboring, you're heavy laden. Come to me and I will give you rest tonight. Take my yoke. The yoke is what they would attach to the oxen, that they would pull and strain under that, and they would pull the load and do the work. Amen? Working, striving, working out their salvation. Amen? Pushing forward. He said, take my yoke. Amen. Lay your yoke down. Take mine upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. There's rest here tonight, amen? Amen. We don't have to be tossed about. The winds of life, the storms of life don't have to dictate. Amen. Our lives, our ups and downs, they don't have to dictate anything to us. We can have rest tonight. Jesus is inviting us. Amen. He's calling. He's still calling. Amen. Don't harden your heart tonight if He's calling to you. Today is the day of our salvation. Today is the day to go into His rest. He promised, He said, that if you do this, He says you will find rest for your soul. Who would turn that down? Why wouldn't you want that? Amen? Amen. I'm so thankful for Him tonight, aren't you? Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, oh, how we love You, Lord. How thankful we are, oh God, that You've got it all in control, Lord. Lord, You've worked it all out for our good, Lord. Like Boaz, Lord, You're a faithful kinsman redeemer. Lord, and like Ruth tonight, Lord, we just want to rest, knowing, Lord, that You've got us, Lord. You've got us. We don't have to be the ones to try and save ourselves, Lord. We don't have to be the ones to try and rely on our works to get us there, Lord. But we just rest in You tonight. Father, if there are those here tonight that are they find themselves up and down and tossed about, Lord, They need to enter into that kingdom of rest. They need that be born again by your Spirit. Father, I pray that they would just surrender to you tonight. Lord, in your word, you said through your prophet Peter, Lord, your apostle, he said that if you would repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you shall receive this rest. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. We have to do our part, but Lord, then we have to let go and let you do yours. Lord, I pray that you would just move on the hearts tonight, Lord. Father, for those that have entered into rest, Lord, sometimes we can just lose sight. We can just forget, Lord, what we have, Lord. We can forget, Lord, we try to do things in the strength of our own flesh. Lord, and our flesh gets in the way, and we forget that our anchor is not in our flesh, but our anchor is in you and our soul anchored in you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just help those tonight, Lord, that have been relying on their own strength, Lord. They've been looking to their flesh, Lord. They've been looking to devices of man. They've been born again, but they're just lost sight, oh God, of what you've done for them. I pray you encourage those tonight, Lord. Thank you for your word, Father. Lord, thank you for the scriptures, Lord. Thank you for these statements, Lord, these things that encourage us so much. Lord, that show, oh God, that you're mindful of us. Lord, that show, Lord, that you're not looking at our sin, Lord, for our sin has been annihilated. We've been found not guilty. Oh, hallelujah. How we thank you for it, Lord. Lord, help us just to let go tonight and to thank you and to worship you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, bless your word, Lord, I pray. I pray that you would just water it, Lord, right now, Lord. In these just few moments, Lord, as we worship you, may you just water that word by your Spirit, Lord. May you go to every seat tonight, Lord. Meet with every child, Lord. Meet with everyone in the building, Lord, and speak to them, Lord. Have communion with them, Lord, just as they invite you, Lord. Just as they worship you. And Lord, just magnify your name, Lord. May you inhabit their praises, Lord. May you come and meet them, Lord. Maybe they're crying out, Lord. Maybe they don't know what they need tonight, Lord. But may they cry out, oh God. May you meet them right there in their seat tonight. Lord Jesus, you've got their answer tonight. I pray that you would just go, Lord, to them, Lord. Lord Jesus, move out on the believers tonight, Lord, those that are streaming tonight in and, Lord, couldn't be here physically, Lord, they're praying, God, they're worshiping, Lord, they're lifting their hands to you, Lord, they're inviting you, Lord, they love your presence, Father. Oh, Lord, we want to rest with you tonight, Lord, in the cool of the evening, Lord, we want to lay down our works, Lord, we're not interested, Lord, in the fruits of the labors of our flesh, God. But Lord, we just want to dwell with you in that perfect rest tonight. Oh, grant it, Lord. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him tonight, brother, sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you've been found not guilty tonight, you've got something to praise him about. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't he worthy of our praise tonight? Amen. Let's just lift our hands to him tonight and worship him for a while. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. You can just talk to Father tonight. You can tell him how great he is. How wonderful he is. How thankful you are tonight. That no matter how dark the world gets around you, you've got an anchor tonight. Hallelujah. You're at peace. You're at rest. Oh, hallelujah. How we thank you, oh God. Yes, Jesus. How we worship you, Lord. Amen. Give him the fruit of your lips tonight. Isn't he worthy tonight? Isn't he worthy of your praise? Isn't he worthy of your worship tonight? Amen. Let's give him the sacrifice of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell him how much you love him. Oh, tell him how much he means to you. Glory to God. Tell him how precious his salvation is to you. Thank him he's never left you. He's been right there with you all the time. Why don't you thank him for it tonight? No matter what you've gone through, he's been there. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, just worship him tonight, church. Worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that song tonight. I've been changed. I've been here.